As he'd feared from the beginning, the tension between those two sets of responsibilities was pushing him steadily farther and farther into a Keynesian mindset. He was moving from an understanding that they had to innovate if they were going to survive the attack upon them, to regarding innovation as a worthy end in itself. That was a dangerous perspective for any man, but especially for the priest charged with protecting the prescriptions. Still, he'd managed to live with that, so far at least. It had helped that he'd come so deeply to admire Emperor Caleb and Empress Charlian, and, especially, Michael Stainer. The heretical Archbishop of Carus was as godly as any man Pater Wilson had ever known, including any of his father's colleagues, and Pater had become deeply and personally devoted to his new archbishop. But now this. His mind ran back over the letter. It had been sent in the special cipher he and his father had devised before his departure for Telesburg, and he never doubted for a moment that it had come from the person who'd signed it.
"So your father wanted me and the children to stay home. I'm afraid for him, Pater, but we won't be remaining home after all. I don't know what you'll hear out of the temple and Zion in the next few months. I don't expect it to be good. But if all goes according to plan, the children and I won't be there. Someone I know and trust will arrange that, and also for Erase, Freyman, and young Samuel to join us eventually. I don't know exactly how, and if I did know, I would not commit it to writing, even to you. But know that I will do everything, anything in my power, to protect your brothers and your sisters, and to bring them safe to you. And know also that your father loves you, and is very, very proud of you. Lisbeth."
He knew what that letter meant. He didn't know if it had happened yet, but he knew what it meant for his father and his uncle, and all the other men who had joined their struggle to redeem the Order of Schuler and Mother Church herself. He'd wept when he opened that letter the evening before, wept for his father and his friends, and for Mother Church, and for himself. Not for his father's death, all men died, but for the manner of the death his father would die. For the fact that his father would die with the great task of his life unfinished. And for the fact that with his father's death, that great task fell to Pater Wilson, who was exiled forever to a land far from the temple. He was the only living man on Safehold, or would be all too soon, who held the key, and he would never be in a position to use it unless, somehow, the Church of Carus could actually defeat Mother Church and all the vast power she wielded in the world. He'd spent the long sleepless night praying and meditating, begging God to show him his path, lead him where he must go. And he'd spent just as many hours praying for the woman who had written that letter.
"You never let me call you Mother, Lisbeth," he thought. "You always insisted that I remember my real mother, and I do, and I thank you for that. But I was only 4 when she died giving birth to Erase. And whatever you've allowed me to call you, you are my mother too."
He hadn't always felt that way. In fact, he remembered all too clearly, and with more than a little shame, how his 14-year-old adolescent ego had bristled with outraged propriety when his elderly father, he'd been all of 41 at the time, had brought home a new wife barely 7 years older than his own motherless son. For that matter, less than 11 years older than his own daughter. Disgraceful. What business did his father have sniffing around someone so much younger than he was? It was obvious he'd simply been smitten by her physical beauty and her youth, wasn't it? It had taken Lisbeth the better part of a year to allay those outraged bristles. To this day, an older and hopefully wiser Pater Wilson knew it was, indeed, her physical attractiveness which had first drawn Samuel Wilson to her. and the fact that her slender brunette beauty was so different from his first red-haired, blue-eyed wife had probably helped. Yet whatever the reason he might first have noticed her, simple beauty and youth weren't the reasons he'd wedded her. And as Pater had come to know her, as she coaxed those bristles down, he'd come to love her himself, as deeply as he loved the younger brothers and baby sister with whom she had gifted him. And now she was in hiding somewhere, if she'd been lucky. She and those brothers and a sister he loved so much were fleeing for their lives, desperately hiding from members of the same order whose colors and badge Pater Wilson wore even now. If they were found, if they were captured, she might see not simply her husband, but her children put to the question before her very eyes. And yet, facing all of that terror, all of that potential horror, she'd taken the time to remind him of his father's love. To remind him, to comfort him. "Please, God," Father Pater Wilson prayed now, "let them be safe, protect them. Put your hand over them, and bring them here to safety."